It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and today we've got a little special show for you. We're going to be talking about Survivor. It's a bonus edition of the podcast, and I'm really excited to be doing this. We haven't talked about Survivor on the Happy Hour in a very long time, which saddens me, really, because I'm a huge Survivor fan. These guys are all huge Survivor fans. Last fall, we podcasted about it regularly. So very excited for this upcoming season that is going to be airing this Wednesday night, in addition to the Big Brother finale. So should be a lot of fun. And as always, for the Survivor seasons, it's become a tradition now. We're going to be doing a little bit of a fantasy draft to preview things for you. Most of the preseason coverage has concluded on RHAP, but you've still got this to listen to if you're desperate for podcasts. So with me, as always, during the Big Brother season, and if you're not a Big Brother fan, you're missing out because you don't get to spend time with these guys. It's the LFC, the live feed correspondents. First is a man who did so bad at our last fantasy draft. He took King Darnell, thinking he would lead him to the promised land, but it didn't turn out so great. But he did get to meet him in real life. It's Alex Kidwell, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, how are you?
Good. Pretty rough stuff there, huh? Yeah. My first live draft on, you know, to go online, and this is what happens. This is, you know, what do you expect?
Well, Alex, just like Big Brother 18, and I said this a few times during this season, you know, because you started so poorly, you can only go up from here. So, right? So it can't go any worse than it did last time. So I've got faith in you, my friend. Second is a man who I think picked his team really just based on attractiveness last time, and it kind of worked like pretty well, at least for Survivor. Didn't really go. Don't talk about Big Brother with him, how his Big Brother draft went, but he's a great guy. It's a great Brent Wagemut, ladies and gentlemen. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing well, I must say. People are desperate for podcasts. They came to the right place because we're desperate. Did I say that?
Yeah, you could, Brent, you could say what are you? It's the happy hour. Right? You can say what you
Cheers.
Want, right? Exactly. Dad's not around, so you know, feel free to be open. And last but not least is a man who certainly is not desperate. He's the reigning champion of our Survivor fantasy draft. It is the great, legendary Taryn Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great, Jordan. You know, some people accused me last year of spoiling the season because I picked Michelle and I was right the entire time. And it's so much so that it became this big thing with Michelle Truthers and everything. I'll try not to do that this year. I'll give the others a fighting chance. So we won't have that to look forward to.
All right. Well, hopefully,
we're off to a rousing start.
Of course. And you know, it's Taryn, I don't know if I believe you because the Big Brother draft, you really killed that. So, I don't know. I'm a little scared. I feel like we don't have a chance.
Three out of the top five, baby.
Yeah,
in that
geez.
Big Brother draft.
Oh, really? I didn't notice. Sorry.
Okay, so let me set things up for you guys. So what we're going to be doing today is we're doing a little preseason Survivor draft, probably a little bit of a quicker show today because the LFC and I have just been so caught up in Big Brother stuff that we haven't had too much time to dissect this cast, at least as much as we normally would. So we'll probably go for about an hour or so. We'll give our takes on our teams and we'll give our picks as the draft goes along. You know, for fantasy drafts, a lot of times with Survivor or Big Brother, people do different scoring and different other things. So I will preface our draft with this. If you are new to our drafting system, what we do is we just do must win drafts. So the players that you pick, you've got to have the winning player on your team. If you do not have the winning player on your team, you do not win. So for example, if you know, Taryn has two of the three that make it. So for example, Taryn is bragging about his Big Brother team, right? He had three of the final five. Normally, you know, in a lot of drafts, he would win because he had all his guys get to the end. But if he doesn't have the winner on his team, doesn't really matter. It doesn't count. So that's how we're approaching things here. It's if you're not first, you're last. That's basically what we're looking at it as. So let's just get into it, guys. Alex, you did so bad last time that we're letting you determine the draft order. I told you in the pre-show that you were going to do that. You have not revealed who is picking first, first, second, third, or fourth. So I will let you reveal that now. And for those of you at home, it is a snake draft. So first we'll pick, it will go 1, 2, 3, 4 in the draft, and then it will go 4, 3, 2, 1. It's going to go up and down until every single person from this cast is picked. We're going to take 5 players each. And yeah, should be, or four, 5 players? Yeah, 5 players each, right? It's 20 person cast. I'm off my game.
Yes, you crazy bitch. Yes, we're taking 5 people each.
Thank you, Brent. I appreciate you giving me the lifeline.
Yes.
So anyway, Alex, let us know. What is the draft order that you have decided to bestow upon us?
Well, I was trying to think of a good order. What I was trying to think of is some kind of challenge that we could do to figure it out, because I feel like that's a good way to go about it. But really, all you'd be playing for in this podcast is uninformed opinions and hot air. So there's not a lot to work with. So I think I'm just going to go ahead and go with what makes the most sense to me. Statistically, the number one pick in drafts tend to win more often than other picks. So I'm going to give that to myself. I will give the number 2 pick to Jordan. I feel like he's done really well with the number 4 pick and falling into his lap. So hopefully he screws that up.
Okay.
I will give the number 3 pick to Taryn.
What?
And I will give the number 4 pick to Brent because I want him getting the back-to-back spot. I think the 2 back-to-back spots are the best spots.
Oh, so it's a good thing. Okay. I'll
it
buy
is a good
that.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah. He's
mind,
trying to help you, Brent.
Thing.
He's
all
trying
right.
to help you.
All right, all right.
On the two ends, we can poach these guys out of the guys they want.
Right, yeah. He doesn't want Taryn to have back-to-back. I know that. I didn't say nothing. Go on.
Oh, I'm fine with it.
Okay. Let's okay, so I've got this here. So Alex is going to go first. I'm going to go second. Taryn's going to go third. And Brent is going to go fourth. So, Alex Kidwell, you are on the clock, my friend. Let's fly through this draft. Who is your number one pick?
Okay, so I don't know a ton about this cast. I have done minimal research. I've done some research. But one thing I do know about this cast is that there is a player who has played a similar game to Survivor with former Survivors.
No! There is also, don't take him!
That player has also... has an extensive background in improv, I know, because Mike Bloom does improv at the same place as does a friend of mine, Amy. I've heard nothing but great things about this player, and that is going to be Zeke.
Zeke, nice. The number one pick in the Happy Hour draft goes to Team Alex. I'm very pissed. I'm wearing an Ezekiel Elliott jersey for those of you listening in the audio archives, because I anticipated that I was going to get Zeke on my team and I was going to do like a little like celebration. But Alex, your strategy worked. You sniped the player that I really wanted. So
and I stuck you in second too. So yeah, it was perfect.
You did, and now I don't know what I'm going to do. Brent, what are your thoughts on Zeke? I really liked him from what I saw. A lot of people really like him, but Brent, you have different opinions than a lot of people sometimes. So I want to hear your take on this.
No, I have great feelings about Zeke. First of all, I understand why I wasn't cast on this season of Survivor, because this is me. Here's the thing: he's a debater. He's in speech and debate. I did that all throughout my life in high school and college, okay? So, like, there are trophies, like, lined. I can't move it because, the light would flip over and that would be terrible. But there are lined trophies along the wall here that I had from speech and debate. And he got to Harvard on a speech and debate scholarship. So I think that's awesome for him. He obviously knows how to talk. He's comfortable in his own skin. He's, like Jeff Probst said in his cast assessment, it's exactly how I see him. He has a different, like... file in his head for when he wants to talk about different people and how he wants to talk to them, if he wants to empathize with them, if he wants to game them, if he wants to manipulate them. And I'm cool with all of that. I think he's going to be a star. I really hope he doesn't get voted out anytime soon. If Alex didn't pick him, I was sure going to pick him, because anybody who knows speech and debate, I feel like they know their way around people, and this guy certainly does.
Taryn, Zeke listed Tony Vlachos as one of his favorite survivors. What do you think that has to say about him?
I think it means clearly that he's knowledgeable in llama. and quite frankly, I was pretty high on Zeke until I heard Brent compare himself to Zeke, and you know, right. Now that Brent's saying it, I'm really starting to see the connection, and I'm feeling like, oh, maybe I'm not so high on Zeke anymore. Gotta say.
Somebody in the chat, Susan, is saying Brent has participation trophies. Yay. Bitch, please. I won first place. First place in state championship. Okay? Let it be known. First place. All right.
This is exactly why I just said what I just said.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, Brent, you won the state championship in debating?
I won the state championship in original oratory, which is tangential to debating. Speech and debate go hand in hand when you're in forensics. That's what the technical, people think forensics is about like science and, you know, yeah, criminology and that sort of thing. No, forensics is also about like speech and debate. And like, it was originally called the National Forensics League, but it was the National Speech and Debate League. And when Zeke participated in it, I'm sure that's what it was called. So it's the same thing. And I was right there. And I also did debate, but that wasn't my major thing. I liked oratory more than I liked debate. So that's what I did. There you go.
And as someone who is the only child of two former collegiate debate coaches, that was a big selling point for me as well.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Just as a Canadian here, who's like very ignorant, is debating like a big thing in the United States?
Depends on where
Not
you
as
live.
Big as it used to be.
Yeah.
And it's you know, like my experience now is that where it's really thriving is like as a club in schools that don't have a lot of money for like sports and stuff like that. Because debating, it's like you don't need to buy equipment. You don't need pads. You know what I mean? You can send the team to go debate another school and it's a minimal cost. So a debate program is really great for especially like schools that are terribly underfunded. And that's what I'm seeing them like right now, especially like when they're making the news. That's why.
That's amazing. Okay. My schools were always underfunded and we always did speech and debate. I wonder why. I wore the same damn tie and the same damn jacket to all 4 years.
Respect, man. Right? Hey.
Brent, you're just adding more material to our eventual Why Brent Walgamont Has the Most Interesting Life Ever
and
podcast.
And yet still can't get a look from Big Brother. Truth. All right. Yeah.
We'll do it. Okay. Off-season.
Right.
Off-season Big Brother.
All right,
we'll make
all right.
it happen. Not this off-season.
Okay.
The next one.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to pick number two, which is my pick. So I'm a little bummed that Alex took Zeke. And if you are a Big Brother fan, you would know that my new strategy for these drafts is just picking people that I like. I don't really care about if I think they're going to win because I just am terrible at predicting anything, really. I am going to go probably a little bit off the board. This is probably not somebody who would normally go that high. And there's a few, I was down to a few people. I was thinking, do I go really crazy or just like, you know, maybe a little bit off the board. So I'm going to go with, you know, I'm a millennial, so I want to take somebody, I want to pick, you know, somebody who represents the millennials well. And who better than the youngest millennial of them all? I'm going to select Will Wall, the 18-year-old high school student, with my pick,
wow.
My first pick, the second overall pick in the draft.
That's
so,
really great, Jordan. That's an amazing pick there. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like what you did with that.
Yeah.
Yes, and if you are unfamiliar with Will, he has the deepest voice probably one of the deepest voices I've ever heard, despite being so young.
Yes, but I have to tell you, before you say anything more, I just want to get this out there. If his voice could be a disembodied thing, I would sleep with his voice. Like, that's how good his voice is. Like, it's that good. This is what you get when I'm on very little sleep, people.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay. Yes. So Will.
Not that Will isn't gorgeous. Will is absolutely gorgeous. I'm just trying not to, like, really put it out there that I want to bang a 18-year-old. You know, come on. Like, I have a little bit of class. You know, come on. A little bit.
Okay, okay, so there you go. So Brent has a little bit of class.
Yes.
I'm going off the board and taking Will. I see the chat room is not a huge fan of this pick, but I have a little inside baseball here. Will is a big RHAP fan, and he's actually messaged me before, so I'm very biased. So that's why I'm rooting for Will 100%. I want Will to win this season. So that's why I decided to take Will. And I think Will, you know, I think he's got a chance. I mean, he's a super young guy, which is really going to hurt him, I personally think. But, I mean, he listens to a lot of these podcasts. He's a big fan of Survivor. Seems like he's a really nice kid. He's religious on a very, you know, religion-heavy season. I think he could potentially go pretty far in this game. Maybe he has Spencer Bledsoe upside. What say you, Taron Armstrong?
I like Will a lot. You know, I feel, but my first two picks got taken here.
Oh, that's so terrible. We feel terrible for you. Not! Just kidding.
Okay, so what I like about Will, he's very knowledgeable about the game. When he speaks, I want to listen, unlike most of the people in this cast. He knows what he's doing. I think that he's going to be underestimated because of his age. I think that somebody's going to think that they can take him under his under their wing. When it comes down to it, I think that he is the kind of young person that can garner a vote. So I don't think he necessarily has that disadvantage. So really, I think his biggest flaw is going to be whether or not he overplays, and I think that's a huge possibility. But if he doesn't, I think he's going to go really far.
Alex, what do you think about Will? Was he high up on your board?
Yeah, he was pretty high. You know, there are several, and I'm sure we'll get into them, several members of this cast who are RHAP listeners, but as far as I know, there's only one fan of the Happy Hour on this cast, and that is Will. So
that is Will.
Pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah, that, you know, this is the first survivor, I think, that ever followed me before I followed him. So I want nothing but the best for Will, obviously. I want to root for this kid.
Oh, yes.
It is very hard for me to envision, like we saw, like even Spencer, who was 20-something, had a very hard time convincing people to want to give him money, and age seemed to play a role there. I think this is the kind of season that's actually better, you know what I mean? Because it's so young and so much of the cast is potentially close to his age that he's probably better served because of it. But it's still hard for me to envision an 18-year-old winning this game until I see it happen.
Yeah, totally. The thing I will say about Will is he does, I don't know, just something about him just seems like he is more likable than Spencer upon first glance, because, you know, Spencer in his pregame was like very like cocky and arrogant, and, you know, he was kind of playing things up his first time around, but I still think like deep down inside he's kind of got that in him, and I'm like, I don't know, maybe it seems like the jury on Cambodia kind of saw that, so that's why they didn't vote for him. So I don't know. But yeah, so, like Alex said, the fact that he's a Happy Hour listener, he follows us. He's a fan of us. I mean, we got to root for Will, right?
Yeah.
And something you need to take into account is that in Cambodia for Second Chance, the jury was largely made up of older players who had different values from Spencer. And this is literally a season about the fact that there are young people and there are old people. And so I think that kind of covers the fact that he is a younger person. If anything, he might be seen as the most impressive youngest person because of what he is. And people won't expect to relate to him because the entire point of the season was that they don't relate to these youngsters.
Right.
Yeah, I could see it.
I also was really impressed by him as well, aside from the fact that he's obviously a very good-looking guy. There's a lot of good-looking people on this season just by the fact that, you know, even as I always say, when you're 18, even when you're ugly, you're pretty. So, like, there's a lot of good-looking people on this season, no matter what. And he's not one of those people. He's a really good-looking guy. I like him. He's down to earth. I think he's able to empathize with people. That's a big quality for me, if you can connect with somebody on a personal level and have a good relationship with them. I saw a few people on Twitter and even a few people in some of the cast assessments variously that I've seen harping on him a little bit about, you know, he's a Bible thumper. He seems he's one of the Bible thumpers. And I didn't really get that take from him at all, notwithstanding the fact that you know, he mentions it a little bit in his video on CBS. But it seems to me like he was like, well, if I meet someone out there and this is a point where we can talk or get to know each other, then I'll bring it up. But it didn't seem like he was pushing it on some people like some other people in this cast might be.
Yeah, he didn't say God was talking to him.
Yeah,
so he's
exactly.
Got that.
He's got that, yeah.
Okay.
And by the way,
that aside,
Will,
go ahead, Brett.
Girl, get it. Like, I hope you win. Take it to him. And I'm with Alex. Like, this was startling to me. Like, I didn't even, like, apparently he sent you all a private message or not? True or false?
He sent me a private message.
Okay.
He sent you a
private message saying, hi, hello, blah, blah, blah. I'm on Survivor. Just want to let you know. And this is, you know, after he was allowed to say he was on Survivor. And you guys already discussed it. And somehow I missed the boat on this. I don't know what. You know, I'm off in Neverland, right? I know, crazy. And then so I, like, went to my Twitter and I'm like, who is this guy? And I went to look him up. Sure enough, he follows me. It was crazy. I was like, oh, wow, he follows me. And I'm like, well, I guess I'll follow him. Hello. Hi, Will. How you doing?
Little old you.
Right?
Oh, and Will, if you're listening, you should have sent me a message too, really. It's negative points.
Please, girl. Get over.
Well, I think it's because I have DMs open on Instagram. So if I don't follow you, you can send me
on
a
Instagram.
DM, and that's where he sent it. Yeah, it was on Instagram. Whereas on Twitter, I don't have that, and I don't believe you guys do either. So I think that's why he sent it that way. So I don't know. Will, let me know.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Okay, Brent, you're up next, my friend. Or sorry, no, you're
no,
not,
I'm
up,
not
next.
Up next.
Taryn is up next. And Taryn, two of his picks got sniped, so Alex's plan is working greatly. Who are you taking?
For the first time in my life, a plan is coming together.
if Taryn picks the person that I'm going to pick, I'm going to fall out. But go ahead. Uncle.
Please take him. Please take him, Taryn. I want to see.
I just want to see if you can channel me or not, who I'm going to pick.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be who you're going to pick.
Okay.
This is a really tough one for me. I really wanted one of those two guys. And this is largely metagaming stuff, but I think I have to go with Mari.
God damn it, mother! I cannot believe that! How in the hell did you do that? How in the hell? I have her page right here. I'm just like, I'm going over everything I'm going to say about her. Oh my God. How did that happen?
I knew it was going to be her.
How in the hell? Out of 17 people, 18 people? Oh my God, that's crazy. Well, go on. Take her. Fine. I got to find somebody else. But
Bravo,
I really was
Taryn
her.
Armstrong.
It really
well
was.
Done, Taryn.
I am not kidding. That is amazing. That is stunning. Go ahead.
Okay, so yes, Taryn, why Mari with the third overall pick?
Okay, so she's on the Millennials tribe. I'm high on the Millennials tribe in general. She says she wants to play like Yule. I like that instinct. She likes Kelly, which means I feel like that's like a pretty general person to like, but it's not so obvious that it's not like a Parvati. She comes off well in her bio. She's personable. She is easy to listen to. She's very competitive. She's a gamer. She doesn't like over-talk about herself like a lot of the people do. So I like her chances a lot. I think she'll fit in well with this tribe. My one caveat is that she's a recent fan, and the fact that she thinks Yule is like this untouchable strategic player, which I do think he's very good, but I think she might miss some of the nuance that a fan might have of like, this is why Yule did really well, and this is why you might not do really well if you try to overtly copy that kind of strategy. So I think she may flame out, and that's my biggest worry with her, but I do think that she's going to do well, hopefully, in the meantime.
Brent, what were you going to say about Mari? What was your spiel that you had all prepared about her?
Well, I mean, I've just never seen somebody who was... Well, I mean, first of all, she's 31, and she's on the Millennials tribe, so that's a little bit of a stretch right there. Nevertheless, I really liked her spunk. She seemed to have an ability to like talk and enunciate and articulate her position in a way that I found really charming. It wasn't overbearing. I didn't feel like she was like Shireen early on, where she was really coming on strong. You know, like I felt like she was kind of like Goldilocks. Like she had it just right. You know, and her video gaming experience, you can say what you want about it. We had Kenny from Gabon. He was a video gamer. And, you know, not that, you know, one, it's apples to apples here, but she has a competitive spark to her that really impressed me. And she was an outside the box pick. I typically don't pick people like Mari. So that was also why I was equally stunned that Taryn picked her when I just said, like, if you can channel me, I will fall out of my chair, which I actually didn't, but that's okay. it was just, she's a spitfire. I really like her. And I think that she has enough of both sides of the coin, hero and villain, that I feel like she can adapt to any situation and move herself forward in the game.
Quickly, Brent, we got a question from the chat from Scott St. Pierre, producer
of the Happy Hour.
Scott's got a question for you, Brent. He says, considering the ages of Jordan, Taryn, and Alex, do you think they are biased towards the millennial side of the cast?
Oh, okay. Well, thank God. I thought it was, Brent, you've been fired. Please take your check. Yeah. No. Do I think they're biased? I don't know. Like, for just... You know, all tea, all shade. I'm 41, so I would have been in the Gen X side of things here, and I probably do relate to them more. Although I kind of, I don't know. Like, I'm definitely, I'm kind of like Zeke. Like, Jeff Probst even said in his thing, like, he's straddling both worlds. Like, I always identify with older people, but I always like act like a younger person. Like, I'm a walking caricature of what someone should be who works hard and, you know, works for their money and that sort of thing. Like, no, that's not me. So, I don't know if they're biased, but they could be.
Yeah, well, we have taken three straight millennials, so I don't know.
I know who
inherently.
I'm
okay, so I'm excited to see. Alex, any final thoughts on Mari before we go to Brent's pick?
Sure, yeah. Mari was number two on my board after Zeke, so I'm very high on Mari as well. One thing that we didn't mention yet, she's got a background in ballet, and I feel like a lot of the challenges, especially in Modern Survivor, are very like geared towards like core strength. And ballet gives you that in spades, from my understanding of it, from the few people I know that have done ballet. And, you know, I think, you know, if there's one thing you want to try to nitpick at, it's like maybe her background being so heavily in gaming makes her less conducive to being sociable. But I think based on her interviews and the other things that she's got going on in her life, that probably won't be an issue. So I would be comfortable rolling the dice with her as a pick.
Yeah, I'm a big
Mari fan.
Something to note is that I believe she's a Twitch gamer, right? She streams her gaming. So it's not it is a social form of gaming. I mean,
right.
Notable Twitch streamer, Dan Giesling.
Oh, my God. You found a way to work in a Dan Giesling reference.
He found a way.
Oh, my God.
He found a way.
Oh, my God. Taryn, I don't even know what to say. Okay.
It makes the point.
Brent, go ahead, my friend. You've got two picks back to back. What is your who are you going to be taking with the first of those two picks?
I'm going to pick the guy that apparently they cast on every CBS show. If I could have an accent like this, I think I would definitely be cast. It's the police sergeant Brett LaBelle, people. That's who I'm taking. Like, he reminded me of Glenn, let's be honest. Like, it's the same accent. Like, I don't know if they're from the same place, but it's basically the same accent. It's that Jersey,
Boston,
New York,
Boston,
Eastern accent. It's all the same thing to me. He's 42, I'm 41, and boy, it's so funny. Like, I look at him, and he looks like a daddy. Yeah, just what I call guys who look like that. And he's 1 year older than me. And I'm like, wait, does that mean that I'm like just a big kid, or he's like really grown up for a 42-year-old? Because I don't feel old, and yet I look at this guy and he reminds me of my dad. He's funny, he's interesting, he's like a more honest version of Tony Vlachos. That's kind of how it, because he's a police sergeant, right? But he doesn't seem like he's as schemey as Tony. He seems like he's more happy-go-lucky. And I think that's going to really play well. And he's hardworking, really going to play well with this Gen X tribe. I think he's going to be at home. I think he is set up well. Not that he can't get along with the younger people, because, you know, at some point there's probably going to be a mix-up. But I think he's set up really well. I like this guy, and I think he could win it all. I really do.
Taryn, do you think if Tony Vlachos and Sarah Lacina had a love child, it would be Brett?
No, I think it's more if Sarah had a child with a more honest cop. I don't think he has the Tony in him, to be honest.
Ken from Thailand.
That
was an honest cop. People act like every since Derek and Tony, those are the only ones people remember as like these great shifty cops. But the first one was Ken, and he wasn't that good.
Yeah. I like Brett.
Thank you.
I liked Brett a lot.
Yes.
wait, what? You like Brett? What? That can't be right.
Those words did not come out of my mouth. He seems like a solid guy. He seems like honest, old school, kind of a reliable type of character. He likes the game a lot. He's a big fan. He's competitive. He has a good cover story for why he's not a cop, I guess, the funeral director thing. He actually does do funeral directing, so I like that. It's not a total fabrication. He also does improv, which I think shows that he has another side to him, which I think is good. It creates some depth. Overall, I like it. I think that I don't know how flexible he'll be, unfortunately. So I think that if he's somebody that's down in the numbers, I don't think he's going to be able to flip things around in his favor. He seems more of like a team player. So I like his chances if he has the numbers and he keeps the numbers. But if he finds himself on the outs, I'm not sure he's going to do too well.
Alex, as a Dallas Cowboys fan, when Brett said in his video that he would want to automatically vote out somebody who is a former New York Giant, I was very pleased by him. I imagine that made you happy as well as a Washington Professional Football Team fan.
Well, the thing you have to understand about fans of Washington sports in general, Jordan, is that we're pretty passive. Like, we have no expectations, so I don't much care one way or the other.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I have no opinion on the matter.
Okay. Any final thoughts on Brett?
Yeah. So, you know, I think a lot of times, I think we're in the age of people saying like, oh, the cop, like that's a thing now. Right. But let's not forget about the Ken or the, you know, here's a better example. Marilyn Hershey from the second season of Survivor from Australia. She was a retired police officer
right.
and she was cray.
Mad right? dog.
She was not good at the game at all. So, you know, it's not a guarantee that because people have the same training that they're going to bring the same skills to the game. That being said, I have Brett like in the middle of the field. I don't think he's I don't see anything like jumping out at me that makes me think this guy's not going to do well. I think he looks a lot like Greg Grunberg, if you guys know who that is. I had to look up the name of the actor because I didn't know it. Like in the show Heroes, he was Matt Parkman. Like, this is, Brent might know that reference.
Yeah,
he's been in, like,
Heroes,
the new
right.
Star Wars, he has a bit part. The new Star Trek, he has a bit part. Look up Greg Grunberg. I think he looks a lot like that guy.
Yeah, he does. You're right. Actually, that never even connected with me, but the mentalist on Heroes.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, the guy with telepathy or whatever it was. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I think of. And, you know, if he can use that kind of intuition, then he's going to do very, very well. But we'll see what happens.
And speaking of bad cops on these shows, we cannot forget, I feel like, the pinnacle of cops on reality television, Kathy from Big Brother 12, who also went into her season saying that she's going to be really great at reading people and telling who's lying or not. And I feel like these cops do this a lot, and it's like they don't understand. It's not one-to-one. Like, catching a criminal in a lie is so different from catching a friend in a lie. It's totally different circumstances. They recognize you as a cop, and they're either nervous or not nervous because of that. But when you're talking to friends, that's an entirely different situation. I don't think it's going to transfer.
Oh, Sheriff Kathy, one of the greats. Brent, you've got another pick, my friend. Who are you taking with the first pick of the second round?
And I'm vacillating between two people, and I'm so close to picking both of them, but I can't pick both of them. So I'm going to pick... You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm just going to... Because people on Twitter told me that I should just pick the people that I really just like love to death, who I think are really, really hot. And I think this guy's hot, and I also think he's a good gamer. I think people are going to look at him as a leader. I think he wants to be the leader. His name is Chris Hammonds, ladies and gentlemen, and he's from a town in Sulphur, Oklahoma that is the home of Chris Hammonds. I'm picking this guy. This is the guy, by the way, who Zeke has a crush on. He was talking about this guy who was like the big, you know, ginger-haired football player guy. Like, he was talking about Chris, and he's not even on his tribe. I'm sure, like, Zeke is going to be bummed out that ain't going to work out, girl. But this guy, he seems like a weird dichotomy to me because he's a trial lawyer. He came from nothing. His dad was thrown in jail, like, I think when he was like 15 or something for like trafficking drugs. And he ended up putting himself through school on a football scholarship, which not easy. And he looks amazing. Like, literally, I want to say to him, daddy, hold me. And he's literally younger than I am. Okay. So, like, he's that good looking and he's 38 years old. He also is somebody who cares about the little guy, though. Like, I mean, I know lawyers always say that, but a lot of lawyers can be very, you know, corporate and want to move up in the world and want money and that sort of thing. And he really does seem to care about, like he said his inspiration in life is Jerry Spence. I know who Jerry Spence is. I'm just guessing here, but I'm probably the one of us four who does know who Jerry Spence is. Like, literally one of the best trial lawyers ever. I did know that. And the fact that this guy identifies with him, that gives me a lot of good feelings about Chris, because I'll just say this. You might look at him and think he's kind of like Andrew Savage, like he wants to be the leader, wants to take control, kind of the asshole in the group. And maybe there are aspects to him that are like that. But I do think there's a side to him that is caring enough that is, it's to a point where I think he could relate to people, especially the younger people. And he's got the body. He looks like one of the younger people. And, you know, I think he could do well. I really do. You never know how this guy could pull out a win.
Taryn, historically, lawyers haven't really done so great on Survivor. So do you think that Chris can overcome this?
I think it's possible. I was really high on Chris as well. I feel like Chris and Brett are two good picks. I feel like they're both solid guys. I think that they're both probably going to be in a similar spot in the game, so I'm not sure I would have picked both of them. But I did like Chris a lot, and I didn't expect to. As Brent said, when I first...
That's going to take you forever, right, isn't it? Yeah, I know,
when
right?
I first saw him, I was like, okay, this guy, he's competitive. He's going to be really aggressive. He's going to play I can't even remember his name. The guy that couldn't count to five on Blood versus Water.
Brad Culpepper.
Culpepper, yeah. I expected him to be a Culpepper. But, you know, he talks in a weirdly gentle way for the way that he looks. And he describes himself as an alpha male.
Yes.
And I liked that. He talked about how, you know, like he had to parent his parents. I feel like that takes a lot of maturity, and it means that you have to grow up really fast. And it's something that I think that I can... see in him as something that's really good, and he's a fan of the show. The only downside, he seemed a little like a little into that whatever it was, like I've got this like Indian spirit chain thing, which I thought was just like totally out of left field from everything else I heard from him. I like, not that that's necessarily a bad thing to be into, but it makes me worried that maybe he has like a quirky side to him that will work against him. But other than that, I really do like him.
By the way, I just want to insert really quickly here that at one point when Chris was talking in the video, he said, you know, men seem to gravitate toward me for whatever reason. And I was like, really? Yeah, I can see that. I literally did a Danny Thomas spit take. I was like yeah. It's not what he meant at all, but it's how I took it.
Alex, did you know who that trial lawyer was that Brent was talking about I don't know about him. I'm assuming Taryn didn't know who it was either.
No, sir. No, sir. I did not. Okay. I feel like I may have heard the name. But
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he's been in the news. Yeah.
I don't think I know a single lawyer in existence. So.
Wow. Okay. There you go. I just know David Murphy was a lawyer, right? From Redemption Island.
Cass is a lawyer. Andrew Savage is a lawyer.
I mean, I don't know them for
Dina's
being
a lawyer.
Lawyers.
Yeah.
Fair. Alex, do you think Chris has a chance? Because Rob Cesternino picked him to win the game. And, you know, every time Rob...
Oh, did he
yes,
really?
He did.
Oh, good. I haven't listened to that yet.
So, okay, Brent, I don't know. Brent, you might be in trouble because Rob's history with picking these winners is not so great.
Lately.
Hey, well, he picked Nicole to win Big Brother 18, and that's still a possibility right now, isn't it? So...
And he picked Denise.
He's not necessarily always wrong. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's kind of like an eclipse. Like, eventually you're going to see one. It's just don't know when. I like Chris. I have Chris pretty high on my board. I think there's a lot of reasons to like him. I think this guy, I believe he was a quarterback in college. So to make it to that level as a quarterback, like, you have to be a leader of people. You have to know how to direct others, and you have to know how to work with people in a way that draws the most out of them. So different people respond to different kinds of energy and different approaches. And a quarterback is the kind of person that needs to learn how to approach, you know, different receivers differently to get what he needs out of those people, or different blockers. So I think that's something that's big. I don't think we've seen anyone who's been a quarterback play Survivor and not be good at that. I think Gary Hogaboom was great. So I'm going to go off of that. And then also just, you know, everything he says, I think, is very encouraging. He's clearly lived a very tumultuous and crazy life. And I think that can only help you in a game that's so mentally challenging and will test you in so many ways. You know, having gone through the ringer that he's gone through as a kid that he talks about, you know, with the like an abusive relationship with his stepdad or whatever it was, is just, you know, I think we've seen players, you know, say in confessionals in the past, it's like, well, this is hard, but I've been through harder things and I can overcome. And that's big in Survivor. That really goes a long way.
All right. Taryn, you're up next with the second pick of the second round. Who do you want to take, my friend?
This is a tough one. I'm kind of torn here, but I think I'll go with Adam.
Ooh.
That's the guy. Yeah, that was the other one I was going to pick.
So
yeah.
Adam Klein, he works for a homeless shelter. Not exactly sure what he does, but really smart. Graduated at the top of his class from Stanford. I believe he's also, I don't know if he's an RHAP fan 100%, but he's very active on Reddit as far from what I've seen. So Taryn, what did you like about Adam?
Yeah, he is an RJP fan. He is the super duper Survivor fan, super fan. He thinks he's super smart, essentially. He's this guy. So really, I'm not super high on his chances, but I had to pick him just in case he does do well, because if he does, I would really regret not having him, because I feel like it would be really fun to watch. He hates mustaches, which I appreciate. His mom is a Holocaust survivor, which I thought is pretty crazy. She also suffers from lung cancer. He talks a lot about her. This is kind of some of what I'm worried about with him, which is that he's really focused on his mother right now, and it seems to take up a large part of his thought process, and I'm concerned that he's going to get a little out of touch with the game because he's too worried about what's happening with his mother. I also think he might overplay, because that is just what super duper fans do. But what I did like about him is that he says he sees himself as a very average person in looks, in athletic ability, in pretty much everything except intelligence, I suppose. And he wants to play that up. He wants to not be so weak that he's a target, but not so strong that he's also a target. He wants to play right in the middle. And I like that from him. I like that he's thinking in that way. And I like that he's a fan of RHAP, and I like that he's a fan of the game. So all of those things combined, I'm hoping he's going to do well. I'm not super high on his chances other than that, though.
Alex, what do you think about this whole mom situation for Adam? I mean, it's super sad to hear about. And I don't know about you, but for me personally, like I found it hard enough to play one of these reality games going in without anything happening at home. I can't even imagine what it would be like to, you know, have your mom suffer through cancer while you're playing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these games, they're so incredibly mentally trying, you know, for a large part, just because you're disconnected with everyone and everything you care about, you know, and then add on top of that the uncertainty of, you know, is my mom doing all right? That could really, you know, eat at you and kind of sabotage your game, I think. I like everything that Adam has to say on paper. I really do. Like, this is a guy who's on Survivor Reddit. He's like, from a fan perspective, he's like our big Meech this season, which is awesome. Like, I love seeing more and more like Redditors and people who are active in the online community, like, actually play the game, because it's very encouraging. You know, like, a lot of us are, you know, like, internet fans. And so to see people like that decide to, like, take a chance and audition and go for it, like, I'm always encouraged to see those people go for it. My one worry is, again, like Taryn talked about him potentially overplaying. I've learned, and this is just like for myself personally, but I don't like, there's casinos in Maryland now. So I'll go and play poker more than I used to, because the option is there. There's poker rooms now, not too far from me. I've learned that if I feel like I need to win, I don't play. I only play if I feel like I'm going to go and play for fun. Something about needing to succeed in something makes you less likely to play optimally. I've just learned that over the course of time. And I feel like Adam really needs this win. He feels like he has to come out here and do this for mom. And I feel like that's a dangerous mindset to be entering into the game with. And the game is going to screw with you mentally as it is. So,
really astute point, Alex. I agree with you 100% on that one. If you're not going in, like, because otherwise, you know, your brain is already fried going in there. So if you've got this pressure, you know, on you to win, it's just not good. So I'm hoping for Adam. It would be great if he did win, but I'm a little skeptical myself as well. Brent, any final thoughts on Adam before we keep going?
Well, it dawns on me how hard it is going to be. And I mean, for people out there who are sick about me talking about this, I'm sorry. You're going to have to put up with me one more time talking about this. But, like, trying to get me on one of these shows is going to be so hard, because this guy is me. Like, board games, poker, browsing the Survivor subreddit, travel. His pet peeves are bullies, long lines, and smokers. Like, I started a personal campaign against smoking at my work. Like, this guy is me, for God's sake. He lives in San Francisco. I saw him on the Corinne cast. She was trying to figure out if he was family. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, is he gay? Like, he seems like he's gay, because it's like looking in a goddamn mirror from 20 years ago. But on the other hand, I don't know. So if I'm talking out of school, oh well. But Adam, if you're not gay, you're lucky. You should be, because you'd fit right in with us.
I knew there was a reason I didn't think he was going to do well.
Right. Right.
All right. We're rooting for you, Adam. I hope you do well. But I don't know. I'm a little concerned. Okay, let's keep going. I am up next, and I'm going to. Sorry, Taryn, you have something to say?
Oh, I did want to say, because I don't want people correcting me in the comments, I did accidentally say that his mom was a Holocaust survivor. It was actually his grandmother or great-grandmother or something. So, sorry.
Would have been all a right. pretty impressive birth at 70 or whatever it would have been.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Hey, okay, so thank you, Taryn, for the correction. That'll save us some comments at the end of the show.
I knew what you meant.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm up next. I'm going to stick with the team train wreck theme. Will wasn't that train wrecky, but this guy I think is, but I think he's going to be great television. And I was a huge fan of his from, or I am a huge fan of his after watching his videos and seeing his bio. I am going to take the rock star treasure hunter, Paul. Paul is my
name.
So I'm going to take Paul. I feel like he's going to do really bad, but he seems like a fun guy. And I do think that, you know, there's something endearing about him. And I could see him ending up in a situation where he kind of gets dragged to the end. He's loyal in an alliance. And, you know, somehow there's a bitter jury and he wins. Alex, tell me I'm wrong.
I think you're wrong. I don't like what I'm seeing from Paul for the most part. I think he's far and away the oldest person on a cast of generally young people. I don't think that bodes particularly well. He seems to be, you know, very flamboyant and over the top. And he, to be honest, kind of reminds me of Dan Foley. And that's probably not fair considering he hasn't said anything that makes people squirm. But the potential seems to be there for me.
Okay, Brent, where was Paul on your board? You're with me, right? Paul's good. He's good.
Yeah, I was actually impressed. I don't know what you guys are seeing that you don't think that he's going to do okay. Like, I think Paul is probably going to do great. Like, I think people are going to be entertained by him. He seems like a hardworking guy. He seems likable. He seems like he's strong for some of these team challenges. I don't see him being voted off early unless he's a complete and utter asshole. So I think he's set up pretty well, and especially being on a team, and at least initially, of, you know, like-minded older people, I feel like he'll really do fine. Whereas I feel like if he started off on a crowd of younger people, then he might struggle a little bit trying to fit in. But I like this guy. I would pick him. By the way, I just noticed, and I don't want to get any flack for this, but to my count, it's 7 picks now, and we've only picked one woman. So does that say something about the women who were cast on this season, or does it say something positive about the men who have been cast on this season? Or does it say something about us?
Maybe the latter, Brent.
Okay, cool.
Hey.
No, I mean,
my draft
to,
was all women last season.
I know. I was going through, oh, wow. Like, well, we picked one
if
girl.
It hasn't come back to me yet.
Yeah, if I was taking people that I really thought were going to do well, I would not have taken Paul here. I would have taken a woman. Just one preference.
And if I wasn't picking people that I went to sleep with, I wouldn't have picked Chris. So there you go. Right. Okay, cool. Moving on.
Taryn, any final thoughts on the rock star treasure hunter, Paul?
I don't think Paul is going to do well. I think that he is this kind of like, he's very dad like, he's very goofy, and he's the kind of guy that's like, he's very set in his ways, I think, where he thinks that he has this quirky, funny personality, and I'm sure he does, but I don't think it's going to play well, and I don't think it's very adaptable, and so I really don't see him going too far.
Okay, let's keep things rolling. Alex, you've got 2 picks in a row. Who are you taking with the first, or sorry, with the last pick of the second round?
Oh, man, I cannot believe this person made it all the way back to me. This is my number one overall person on the board from the Gen X side. I'm going with Jessica Lewis.
Whoa, Jessica. Okay, Jessica Lewis. She's your number one on the Gen X side?
Really? Yeah. All right. I can't wait to hear about this.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what Brent has to say. But Alex, explain, why were you so high on Jessica?
I really like Jessica. I like what she has to say. I think she seems to have a really charming, charismatic energy. I loved her interview with Josh Wigler. Like, you can tell from some of these interviews who Josh was enjoying engaging with and who he wasn't based on like the length of the back and forth. Jessica is giving him so much and she seems really engaging. She seems like something that would be very, very easy to get along with. She seems like someone that's going to be very attuned to what other people need, at least like from an emotional standpoint, and be able to be there for them. She strikes me as one of like the rare mother players we've seen that really gets it and knows like, okay, I'm a mom. I'm going to be perceived differently. How do I use that? How do I incorporate that and move forward knowing that this is part of who I am and that I can't, like turn that off. You know what I mean? I think she has a good idea of who she is, of what this game is, and of what she has to do to kind of make her way through it. And to me, that's at this point, I mean, I think that's a great reason to draft somebody.
Okay, Brent, what do you think about what Alex just said? Because based on your initial reaction, it seemed like we're in the same boat on this one, that we weren't high on Jessica.
It just seemed to me like that this is going to be a little bit of an overwhelming experience for her. Wasn't this the girl who said, I'm going to concentrate on me now? Like, this is me time, Jessica time.
Yeah, what she said was, I'm going to focus on Jessica.
So third person.
Hey,
third
the last person who did that made final three, guys.
All right.
What's in it for Monica?
Didn't win.
All right. Okay, so my point being that, like, a girl, this isn't a time to go out and focus on Jessica. This is a time to go out and win the goddamn game. Like, you know, you go out there and win, okay? Concentrate on the game. I don't care about your personal growth. Like, this is not a place to go for that. She did not leap off the page for me. So this is not someone I would pick. This, honestly, to me, this strikes me as more of like a Taryn Big Brother pick. Like a girl who, like... is not.
So you're saying I'm
going to
win this draft,
who,
is what you're telling me?
Possibly. Who knows? Like, this is like somebody who's not threatening, who's going to go a long way, who is sort of going to fly under the radar and not be good TV. Now, I hope she proves us wrong. I hope girlfriend goes out there and tears it up, and I'm wishing I had picked her. But, boy, I don't see it happening.
Okay, Taryn, break the tie. Usually, this is interesting, because usually on the podcast, you're the one fighting with Brent. But today...
Yeah, you're usually with Alex, let's put it real.
So today, I'm gonna let you break the tie. Tell us who's right. Who's right? Is Alex right? Is Jessica going to be a really good player? Or is Brent right? Is she going to kind of flop?
Well, Brent is never right, but I am on his side this time.
right. I knew that was coming.
I was not feeling her whatsoever, really. I felt like her bio was really dramatic and kind of self-aggrandizing. In her interview with Josh, I felt like she just talked about herself so much. I couldn't even read, like, the paragraphs upon paragraphs. It was just... It was too much. She was just talking about herself and, like, why she's so great. And I understand that that's what you have to do in these interviews and to get on the show. But if she brings any of that to Survivor, I don't think she's going to go very far at all. She has been watching a while. She does like Suri. I like both of those things about her. I think she is somewhat charismatic if she tries to be, if she's not talking about herself too much. So I do think she has some upside, but I was not too high on her overall.
Okay, so there we go. Alex, apparently you're wrong. So we'll see. Maybe.
Yes, we'll see.
We'll see. You know, I thought you were right.
I can't
when
do
you
worse than Darnell, first overall. So
no,
that's
right?
The attitude
Thank you.
I'm going to maintain as we do this.
No. And just quick, so at the end of the second round, let me just recap what has happened so far. Alex took Zeke with the first pick. He got Jessica with his second pick. I took Will Wall with my first pick. I got Paul with my second pick. Taryn went with Mari with his first pick. Adam with his second pick, and then Brent went back-to-back, Brett and Chris. Just one other thing of note, if you're watching us live on robiswebsite.com, we do have the chat room going on robiswebsite.com. There's a little chat on the show page. There also is a chat on YouTube if you're watching over there. We pay more attention to the one on the website. But a fun little fact, guys, we had Adam and Will earlier. They said hey in the chat. So they are actually here watching this live.
Crazy.
Cool. Well,
so
yeah.
Very cool. Very cool for us.
We already picked them.
We already picked them. So
it's a short show.
So they probably didn't win, right? Because if they won, they would have better things to do with their time than watching us, right?
Hey, well, I think Mike Holloway blew that theory out of the window because dude was really active on social media before the season and still won. So I think he broke that mold for me.
Yep.
So we'll see. But anyway, what's up to Will and Adam? Thank you so much for tuning in. And we wish you guys nothing. Retroactively, of course, we wish you nothing but the best of luck out on the island in Fiji. Alex, third round coming up here. You've got the first pick. Who are you taking here?
Man, there's two people I really want. One is Gen X. One is millennial. One is male. One is female.
Oh, my.
It's a tough call.
Tell us more, Alex. Tell us
Ultimately,
more.
I am going to go with David Wright.
Ooh, David Wright. Okay.
Ooh, all right.
And it's my love and affinity for comedy and comedy writing and just that background and what skill set that may provide him that really kind of drives that pick more than anything. I do worry about him being an early boot. I feel like if he can make it through the first few episodes, that he's kind of a bell curve type of player where, you know, nobody's going to be worrying about him on at merge time. I mean, he's built like me, so it's a high risk, high reward type of thing.
Taryn, what did you think about David Wright? Because I really, really love this guy. I mean, on a personal level, but I'm not so sure he's going to do great in the game.
I actually liked David a lot. He was going to be my next pick. He talked a lot about how he is like socially awkward, and he relates to Cochran, and he says, like, I want to use Survivor as a tool to battle my insecurities and overcome my fears and anxiety, which I think is an atrocious sentence. But in his interviews, he comes off totally personable and totally fine, and I don't see any of what he's saying, which makes me think that maybe he's a little hard on himself, or maybe he's playing it up for the cameras or for to get on Survivor. But I really don't see him as somebody that's that socially awkward based on what I've seen so far. And if that's true, I think that he's going to do fairly well. I think that he's the kind of person that can do decently, especially on a tribe like the Gen X tribe, as long as he isn't so awkward, that as awkward as he says he is, essentially. He's a really good fan. He says he's going to be paranoid, which I don't like. I like being paranoid in Big Brother. I do not like being paranoid in Survivor. And he identifies with Spock, which I think is the wrong kind of logical that you want to identify with. It's the emotionless logical, which is just like let's willfully take out half of the equation here. But so overall, there's some good things and bad things. Based on what I saw of him, though, I'm somewhat hopeful that he'll do pretty well.
Okay, Brent, any final thoughts on David Wright?
Like, you guys have got to be smoking crack. Like, this guy's not winning Survivor. Like, what in the hell, Alex? Like, there's no effing way. Like, he, like, this guy's pet peeves, like, are, like, they read, like, a list of things that people who shouldn't be on Survivor feel like. Like, he doesn't like noises. He doesn't like people who don't use a turn signal. People who use the word nonplussed incorrectly. He talks about never being camping. He doesn't like the bugs. He doesn't like this. He doesn't like that. He seems like a nervous wreck. Like, literally, he reminds me, and please help me out on the name, I cannot remember his name, the millionaire guy who, like, was the chairman of the baseball team who went out
David Sampson.
David Sampson. I knew their first names were the same. He reminds me of David Sampson, like this smaller guy, like in that 40-year-old range. I think that the older tribe, the Gen X tribe, will look at him as the guy who is sneaky. If he doesn't watch himself and they lose a challenge early, I think he's gone.
Glad you brought up David Sampson, because I think I see the similarities, certainly from a physical and an aesthetic perspective. I think the big difference here is that David Sampson wasn't talking about all his problems. He was talking about how he's going to crush this game. I think there's something good about a guy who's talking about everything that's wrong with him in his bio. It speaks to a knowledge of your own faults and where you could, like, it's so key for people to know what they have to improve on and work on going into a game like this. And he's one of the players that clearly seems to know, if I do X, Y, or Z, that's going to be my downfall in this game. I think that's remarkably perceptive. And also, I remember another Survivor saying he hates camping and hates bugs, and he's our boss now. So just saying, that doesn't necessarily translate.
And he did, you know what? And he reminded me of Rob too. But I don't know. I feel like Rob was in his element, and I feel like that David is not. Like, I feel like Rob was in his element from the standpoint of, like, the game, this is going to be a weird sentence, but the aroma, the fumes of the game, they made him feel at home. Like, he was right at home in the jungle, even though it's not really where he wanted to be. Whereas with David, I feel like he really is anxiety ridden and nervous about the fact that he's on Survivor.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Okay. Let's keep going. I hope David does well, too. He seems like a really nice guy.
Oh, yeah. Like,
it'd be good,
I mean,
TV,
like,
I think, for sure.
Yeah. Exactly.
Good one-liners.
Like, I'd be thrilled. I don't want to say, like, I'm throwing shade on him, but, like, I'd be thrilled if this guy went far. He's such a fun guy. Like, I loved listening to him, and, like, I could just listen to him for a long time. But, I'm calling it as I see him, and I don't see it.
Okay. My next pick, second pick of the third round, I'm again going to go off the board. This is somebody who had some interesting things to say. She, I think, is going to rub a lot of people the wrong way. But I liked that about her. I thought that was really entertaining. And I'm going to take from the Gen X tribe, Rachel. So Rachel is...
Oh, my. Well, at least I didn't get stuck with her with the 20th pick.
She's last on my board.
My God. Oh, my God.
Rachel is going to be so bad, but she's going to be such good TV. So I couldn't risk her not getting to me at a certain point. So I had to take her.
Okay, girl, we could have been here till the 50th pick, and she still would have been there. Like, let's be real.
But Rachel, okay, here's the thing. So Rachel, she wrote a book. Which I guess is available on... Is it available on Amazon? I think that's what Rob
said. It's a best-selling book with 8 other authors.
Hey!
He's a best-selling author.
Yeah, Brent. Are you a best-selling author? I don't think so.
Well.
So there you go. She said... So she said, here were some things. I watched her video. She said a few things that I found interesting. One, she already hates someone. She wouldn't elaborate on who that was.
Right? I kept trying to figure out who that was.
So she already hates someone. So I was like, okay, cool. She hates someone, so this will be fun to watch her. she said that she believes that sexiness comes from within. Which I was like, oh,
wrong,
I was like, no,
wrong,
no, Brent.
Wrong.
I was like, oh, okay. I can buy this. I can buy this. And then she said, and then she said that, I think I look fine in a bikini. And, you know what? She's confident. She's confident. So, you know, I like that in her. Modeled for Playboy.
Did you notice that during the video, Jordan, I swear there was a cut there. She had been crying. If you look like I'm serious. I'm not throwing shade. It's about three fifths through the video. There's a cut scene. They show the B roll and then she comes back and now she's on to something new and she's talking about people that she doesn't like. Her eyes are all red. She has been crying. So something has upset her to the point where she already can't take it and they haven't even started the damn game. So, JP, I feel like this is self-sabotage at its finest here. You picking her, but I thank you.
You guys said that about Natalie during Big Brother, and Natalie almost won. So
that's true. You're right. That Natalie pick was looking really good.
Not throwing shade, but might be throwing tinfoil hats.
Okay, Taryn, Alex, anything you want to add to this about Rachel, or can we move to the next pick?
Yeah, let's move on.
I don't think anyone has much to say.
My notes are literally. No, 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 no. No way. Two bullet points.
Okay. All right. So next pick is Taryn. You're up, man. Who do you got? How is this tough? I didn't take...
Like, I got three people on a pick.
I didn't take your pick. Alex took Jessica, who wasn't your pick. So
Alex took my pick, David.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well, all right. Well, we'll give you some time. Otherwise, if you take too long, we're just going to go to Brent.
Listen,
that would have been a perfect spot.
I said it was
that would have been a perfect spot to do like a Peter Griffin laugh right there.
Well, you're pretty good, Alex. Again, so many impressions you could do, my friend. Okay, Taryn, who you
got? That's what happens when you're an only child, Jordan. You spend a lot of time doing voices in a room somewhere.
I'm gonna go with. Ken.
All right. Ooh, okay, this isn't really a pick I would expect from you, but...
I would not have...
I just thought, because Brent took his team based on beauty last time, I was just like, okay, Ken's going to be on Brent's team, but...
I was not picking Ken. I really
okay,
wasn't.
So there we go. Yeah. So
not that he isn't gorgeous, because he is, but I had a different pick
in
mind.
Taryn, explain, why Ken?
You know, I just feel like he... this is almost like my like a pick based on last year's strategy, where I feel like he's just so bland, but enough of like a chill alpha male type that Jeff would kind of like it if he won. That this might be our winner. He says he's like Aussie. He seems more like a woo type to me. He's much more chill. He says he talks about himself a lot, like some of the others, but he kind of hits all the right notes where he is all about like self-improvement and like, yeah, I have a daughter, but it's totally changed me. And it makes me like feel like such a better person in life and my soul. And I just feel like he is the kind of guy that he might just slip through the cracks and be there in the end, and he might just win.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he's bland, kind of, you know, he's like, it kind of reminded me of just like oatmeal, but like really good oatmeal because, like, he's a good looking guy, I guess. But I don't know. Brent, what did you think about Ken?
I mean, he was like, I was really stunned. Like, you know, you look at the guy and you think, oh, you know, he's a ladies' man. He's like, he's a model. You're thinking about, you know, like, what, how shallow can he be? And then he was talking about living off the grid in Hawaii, all the things he did, you know, living off the grid, which, like, I can't even fathom, which basically is survivor, or at least it's more survivor than it is, like, you know, living in a house like I do. I was stunned by that. And then it did seem like, when he was talking about his daughter and how he had to tell her, I had to leave, but it's going to be a better life for ourselves. And his daughter said something to the effect of, you know, can we help other homeless people if we win the money? And like he said, that absolutely tore his heart out. Like, he was a really deep thinking guy. Like, you could, I mean, I'll be real with you guys. There was a part of me that was laughing at him, and there was a part of me that was crying with him. Like, I couldn't really decide, and I think maybe that's good that I don't really know where this guy's coming from. On the other hand, that makes me really nervous because I could see him being like the third one out. I really could.
Alex, any final thoughts on Ken?
I don't have too good of a read on him. I kind of have him in the middle of the pack for that reason. I think my favorite thing about him is that he's 33, which positions him pretty perfectly to work with the millennials, right, if they dominate the pre-merge. I think he's somebody that will identify readily with the millennials from the Gen X group, which is really valuable right now. You know, we talk about like the 30s being the sweet spot for winning Survivor because you can relate to the most amount of people. I think Ken is at the very center of that Venn diagram for this particular season. Beyond that, I think a little bit of a red flag is when he talks to Josh Wigler about, like, the one time he felt like a Hulk rage and beat up a kid. Like, that's, I mean, I'm sure that was a while ago, but, like, you know, like, you don't want anyone, you don't love anyone who's capable of, like, losing themselves in their anger. Like, that's obviously a concerning thing, which isn't to say he's like that anymore. Maybe that was just the story of him as a kid, but that's really the only red flag that I saw. And yeah, I think, you know, it's a pretty good pick at this point in the draft.
Okay, so we're almost done round three. Brent, I'm going to get you to make both your picks back to back and announce them right now. So I'll give you a sec to start thinking about that.
I know,
okay,
what they
beautiful.
Are.
Beautiful.
So
that's great. So just because we need to pick things up a little bit because Alex has to pick his parents up from the airport. So I don't want Alex to miss out on that. So Brent, the floor is yours.
Okay, I'm picking CeCe as my next pick, and I'm also picking Figgy as my next pick. CeCe, boy, I mean, this girl, first of all, if she wins Survivor, like, I'm going to be so happy. Like, she wants the money, and I think she's going to be really hungry, and I think she's really going to want to play the game, can play it hard. Like, there's not a big difference between, like, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, but there is a big difference between second and first. So I feel like somebody who wants this is going to go for the win. She seems like she's been watching the show for a long time. She's a goal setter. I feel like she's going to be able to read people really well, and she didn't seem overbearing to me at all. Figgy, on the other hand, she seems like somebody who, and she, you know, she made this comparison in her biography, and it's so funny because when I looked at her, I did see it, the Stephanie LaGrossa comparison. She seems like somebody who is a younger person who could get people to root for her. I think she's a charming girl. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, she's gorgeous. She's a flirt. She seems like she's a hard worker, so I think she could also fit in with the Gen Xers if she needed to. So there you go.
Okay, Brent, well done. Personally, I think those are two great picks. I'm a big fan of both of those. Figgy, I was just like in love with her watching her her video. I just was like, oh my gosh, this girl is amazing. Taryn, what do you think about CeCe and Figgy? Who do you like more of those two?
I like CeCe, actually. I feel like CeCe might be solid. I think she has some potential. She talked some good strategy in her interview. Figgy, I was not as high on. I feel like Figgy is the kind of player that's going to be very aggressive, and I don't like that. She talks about like constantly aggressively flirting with people to like win them over immediately, and I feel like it's not going to work for her in the way that she thinks it might.
I don't know. Don't you think that she's set up pretty well, though, given the dynamics of her tribe? I mean, it's 10 young people. 5 of them are men with, like, you know, absolute horn dogs. Like, don't you think that that will work in this setup? I think, like, I feel like it will.
It could.
Yeah, I think it could.
If you think about the men, though, you've got, you know, like Zeke, Adam, and Will. Are any of those guys going to be thinking like, oh, she's flirting with me, this is a good thing, I want to go along with this? Or are they going to be thinking this is a danger
to me in
this game?
Obviously not Zeke. Right. Adam, I don't know. Jury's out. You know, Will, he's 18. You know, so, but she's only 23, so they could definitely hook up.
It's, I don't know. For me, I feel like when I see her talking about how she flirts with people, it seems aggressive. And I think it's something that would put me off as somebody who wants to play the game. It would make me think she's trying to play me right now. And that seems dangerous.
Yeah, I know. But honey, you're like, you're a robot, though. You don't really think like normal guys. Okay. All right, cool.
I was just going to say really quick, I do get what Taryn's saying, I think, in that, like, you know, she's a bartender. You know, we're just coming off a season with a young female bartender winner. And I think big differences that stand out to me between Michelle Fitzgerald and Figgy is that Michelle's a lot more passive and low key in her approach. And I think that's ultimately good for this game. And I think Figgy might come out of the gates a little too hot.
Okay, so there we go. Figgy and
Taryn, did you
CC
have something you wanted to say?
Taryn, we'll let you speak. Yeah, what did you want to say? One last thing on Figgy and CC.
I was just going to make fun of Figgy.
He wanted to respond to my robot comment.
No, I was going to make fun of Figgy.
Okay.
Well, she did the thing where she's like, you know, you wouldn't know just by looking at me, but I'm actually just like super cool and awesome. And I'm also like, you wouldn't even know, but like I'm a boxer, which makes me like really badass. So just so you know.
She is a badass, though, and is really cool, Taryn.
I guess it works on you, Jordan.
So, yeah, like, you're just a hater.
He's thinking like the guys on the Millennials Tribe with me. I know. Right?
No, now that you say that, Taryn, now I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, okay, maybe.
And she's a little bit of a tomboy. Like, I think she's going to fit right in.
I think she will, too.
Like, come on. Yeah.
I mean, her and snowboard instructor Taylor, I mean, come on. I feel like that is going to be, like, instantly, they're going to team up.
Get it on, girl.
That'll be fun. Or Jay. I think either guy. Okay. Brent has made his two picks. Taryn, the floor is yours. Who are you taking with the second pick in the fourth round?
Oh, man, this one is another tough one. There's somebody that I like.
5 seconds or we're moving on. Alex has got to go, girl. Let's pick it up.
You realize this makes
He's
it take
taking
more
his
time
sweet
every
time.
Time you interrupt me. I might have to double down and go with Taylor.
Wow.
Really?
Wow. Taylor? Because I really wanted him for Team Trainwreck. Are you sure? He was perfect. Okay.
I have to go with the strategy of picking these high variance people. I feel like he is another person. I think he's going to do pretty well unless he gets a little too feisty for his own good, which is definitely possible. But I think he is definitely the Wu type. I feel like he's going to get dragged pretty far. I feel like he might be sitting there in the end against two unlikable people. Who knows? I think that, I don't know. This is the type that I'm feeling has a chance to win the season this season. I felt it was a type last season, and I went with it. And I'm feeling this one this season. I'm going with that one. So that's what it is.
All right.
Okay, Alex, is Taylor going to be better or worse than Drew Christie?
Oh, I think it's comparable. I have Taylor really low on my board. I think just the thing that sticks out to me is, you know, he says basically in a sentence the reason why I'll never apply to Survivor, which is that when I'm tired, when I'm hungry, I can be a dick. And yeah, dude, like that's like the worst thing. Like that's exactly what you're going to be for 39 days, tired and hungry and probably a dick.
Brent, what did you think about his video when he said that he's ultra spontaneous and that when he sees a log, he doesn't just see a log. He sees it as something he can do a backflip off of.
Yeah, that just seemed like he was a bit of a show off because he knew the video camera was on him. That's going to wear off real fast. Like when you look by the looks of the preview, if you guys haven't seen the preview, like there's apparently a typhoon coming for Fiji or Fuji or wherever the hell they are.
Fiji.
And I lost track. And they're going to have to evacuate. So he's already going to be miserable during the first few nights. And I can't wait for it. Like, I love when nature breaks these people down and you get to instantly see. Like, it's not beach camp. It's not going to have fun for the summer. Like, it's going to be real. It's the real shit right away. If you build your shelter, you're going to be set. If you don't have a shelter, you're going to get rained on. When you get rained on, you get bitchy. When you get bitchy, you get voted out. I want to see what happens with this guy, but I don't feel very good about it.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I guess he could have Fabio upside, but
That was one in a million. Yeah, right. Stop. Right. Yeah.
And maybe if Nicole Cesternino had picked him, then maybe I'd feel a little bit more confident about it. But no.
Who did she pick, by the way?
She picked,
have we picked that person yet?
She picked Mari. So your girl, Brent.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Okay, so any final thoughts on snowboard instructor Taylor, Taryn?
He seems like an idiot.
All right. Yeah, he does. Okay, let's keep it going. I have the next pick. And of these people left, the craziest seems to be this guy here. He likes to skimboard, skateboard, surfboard, be on the real estate board, lots of things.
No. We already picked Taylor. We already picked Taylor.
No, it's not Taylor. Oh, sorry, it's Jay, the 26-year-old from I don't even know where he's from. He's very interesting in his bio. He says at the same time that he in his video he said that he's humble, but he also described himself as charming. So and said that, you know, he's awesome. He wants to try to be awesome all the time. And yeah, he was very annoying, but I think he's going to – I think this guy maybe could be the Drew Christie. Personally, you know, Jeff Probst compared him in his cast assessment. He said that people will look at Jay as a Malcolm or an Ozzy. I kind of look at Jay as a Joaquin. I think he's going to come in. He's going to think he's, you know, a boss and he's running the show when in reality – he's just kind of an idiot. So, yeah, that's basically my reasoning behind taking Jay. Brent, go ahead.
I will say that I was not as down on him as, you know, maybe you're. It seems like you are. Like you think he's a little bit of a train wreck. He seems like he was a cool guy. Like, and he seems like he's hardworking. Like, he seems like he's a harder worker than most of these people on this tribe are. Like, I mean, you know, I basically married money, and this guy like bought his first house at age 25 and paid it off. Like, that's tough to do. Like, I'm no tea, no shade. That's amazing. Good for him. I like him because I felt like he was strategic enough where he knew that what he needed to do and how to do it. And he was honest enough where I feel like he would be able to, or at least honest-ish enough where he could get along with people and make them trust him, where he would be able to pull off his moves. The whole thing about, you know, what does it mean to be a millennial? And he talks about freedom and blah, blah, blah. Please, girl, whatever. But aside from that, I liked everything else he said. Like, he's not a bad pick. I like him.
Taryn, you're with me, right? Jay sucks.
Yeah, you know, okay. He said he wants to be a combination of Russell and Wu, but I feel like here's what it is, and you compared him to Joaquin. I feel like he is literally Pete Bro. He is Pete Bro.
Yeah, that's actually not bad, but dumber.
I'd rather have Pete Bro.
And I like Pete Bro outside of Survivor. I feel like is a fairly funny dude. But in Survivor, he was kind of a train wreck. And I feel like this guy is going to be the same. He's the same exact type where Pete Bro, in his bio and in his interview, said, "I am like the greatest person alive. I am like the best at everything." And I feel like this is essentially what Jay was trying to say in his interviews and stuff. I really see him as Pete Bro. I really see him kind of flaming out in the same way.
Alex, any final thoughts on Jay?
Yeah, I don't have a ton to add. I just, you know, we made a lot of comparisons with this guy. And for Edmo and Ashley and like the few wrestling fans that are in our listening group, I will say that he reminds me of Bo Dallas, who is a current wrestler with WWE and is a character whose entire gimmick is arrogance and loving himself. And I could see Jay maybe going down that path as well. So that would be extra exciting to me to see a guy who looks like Bo Dallas begin to act like Bo Dallas.
I love how you described the listeners of the podcast as the listening group. I think you know, that's great.
See, this is why I appreciate the people with the improv background. You know what I mean? It's not that easy.
No, it's not. It is not easy, Alex. Definitely not. Okay, you've got two picks in a row, Alex. So your fourth and you've got your fourth pick coming up, and then your fifth and final pick coming up. So who are the last two people that you will be adding to Team AK?
Okay, so I have one person really high on my board that hasn't been picked yet, and that is Michaela.
Michaela. Yeah. All right.
I was kind of wondering how she slipped through.
Yeah, Michaela's good, right? I think Michaela would be a good player. I would have taken her earlier if, you know, I had a different philosophy, but alas.
And again, like this idea, you know, people that I've seen that are down on Michaela, it's, you know, because she says she doesn't suffer fools easily. She's willing to tell people off. I'm done getting fooled by that in bios. Like, I feel like that's what got me last year. And I'd like, absolutely not with the Debbie, with the Sydney. And like, it was not the right approach. So I'm throwing all that out the window this year. I don't care if you're someone that tells people off. I'm just going to assume that that is something everybody does. And let's just ignore that.
Exactly. I picked Cece and she said she had multiple personalities. I'm like, no, bitch, I'm not falling for it this year. No.
Okay. Then who's your second pick, Alex?
Okay. Then I will follow Michaela with Hannah.
Hannah Shapiro. I'm amazed that Hannah made it this long. I wanted to take her, but it would have gone against my criteria. I think she's going to do really well. Like, who's going to want to get rid of Hannah, Alex?
Well, I think, you know, I see a potential Aubrey trajectory where maybe in the first few episodes she's freaking out a little bit. She's so overwhelmed by the intensity of actually being there and playing the game that she's so excited to play. But if she can survive those first few episodes, I think she can really find her footing and make a deep, deep run in the game. She certainly knows what to do. It's just a question of getting out there and executing it in a way that makes people want to work with her.
Taryn, thoughts on Hannah and Michaela? Which one were you higher on?
I don't know. I wasn't too high on either of them, to be honest. I feel like Hannah is probably generally a better player. I feel like this is not the time for her to be playing. I feel like she's coming off the back of Shireen and Aubrey, and I feel like she really is reminiscent of them, and I don't think that's good for her in the game or out of it. I think that Michaela, as Alex said, I didn't like the I will not suffer fools thing, and she was another person who kind of talked a lot about herself and her personal achievements. She talked a lot about, you know, paying off her student loans and how that makes her super awesome, and it almost felt like she was putting other people down that weren't able to do that. Like, look how awesome I am for being able to do this, and isn't that such a great thing? And I'm really, like, you know, grasping at straws here, but just based on what I saw, I feel like there might be an aspect of that that's going to get in her way in Survivor. So I'm concerned about that. But in general, I wasn't too high on either.
Brent, do you think that the fact that Hannah is a disciple of Max Dawson's Survivor class, do you think that's going to help her or hurt her?
Well, I didn't know that, actually, so that's great to know. I think that can only help her. I mean, I feel like, I don't know, I want to say the more you know, the better you're going to do. I feel like, you know, preparation, there is something to that. Otherwise, you know, let's just throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks. I love this girl. She's very fun. I go along with Taryn, what he was saying about the timing of this all. It would be like Alex playing right after Ian Terry won. Like, you know, it just, like, it's just, she reminds me so much of Aubrey that I cannot not see it. And I want her to do well. She seems really, really fun. Like, apparently she went right up to Corinne before the Corinne cast and introduced herself and said, hey, I'm on the new season of Survivor. And she was like really starstruck. And she also went to this high school where they did Romeo and Juliet with two guys. And I'm like, oh, where was I at this high school? I wanted to go to this high school. She seems like a blast. But I just don't want her to have that nervous breakdown early on where she gets panicky and nerdy about the game and can't see the forest through the trees. And hopefully she can pull it together and make a deep run.
Yeah, I keep saying this, but rooting for Hannah. I think she'll be she's a big fan of the show. I love to see the fans do well. Okay, my last pick coming up here. Which of these three are the craziest? One is, I know, going to do really bad. Like, really, really bad. But I think...
I'm looking at which one of these three are you guys going to stick me with?
She's going to do really bad. And I think if I don't take her, Brent's going to get stuck with her. But here's the thing is, I think she's super boring. Like, she just sucked in her video. So I don't want to take her because, you know, that goes against...
You do whatever you want.
I am going to take... she's not a girl, she's a mom. I'm gonna take Lucy Huang, the bodybuilder dietitian who has four kids and has been married for 11 years. I really thought Lucy, I think Lucy could go in a few different directions, but the fact that she's, you know, she's in her 40s, she's a bodybuilder. I mean, that's kind of cool. I think she's maybe got a little bit of Monica Culpepper in her. So
just a touch.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think Lucy could be entertaining television. Do I think she'll do well? Probably not, but I think she'll be fun. Brent, what do you think?
I can't get over this girl because, and she's 42, she's like older than I am, but like the picture that they use of her on the CBS bio, she looks so the F over these people and this game. Like if you look at the picture that they used, like she can't handle it. She's done. So I'm intrigued. Now, of course, you never know where this picture is from, who knows where, but she seems to me like she's a little bit high maintenance. I feel like she got a little bit of soft landing pad here because if she was on a more mixed group, I feel like she definitely would be the odd one out. However, given that she's on a tribe of people basically who are, you know, 30 years, 40 years and older, she's going to be a hard worker. She's going to put her nose down and do the work and do what needs to be done. Again, I feel like this with Cece as well. Like, I feel like that the normal problems that women their age, you know, in their 40s run into in playing Survivor will not rear their heads because of their current setup. Beyond that, I don't know what her long-term prospects are for the game, but I do feel okay for her for the first few episodes.
Alex, what was your first initial reaction when you saw Lucy?
Oh, sorry, I'm distracted because we just got a tweet from Will Wall saying, sorry, I didn't DM you guys.
That's great.
Okay, well,
that is fantastic.
Okay.
I have Lucy pretty low on my board. I think, I don't know. Not a lot jumped out to me as being particularly encouraging. She just kind of blended into the pack for me a bit. I think she, you know, has kind of like a generic Survivor background. I don't necessarily see anything that jumped out to me as like something to, you know, make a note of. And, you know, if we're drafting to pick a winner, like I'm gonna look for key things that signify to me like this person gets it and this person is gonna find a way to maybe maneuver themselves. And I just don't see that from Lucy. I feel like she's gonna be okay with kind of like sitting back and seeing what people want to do and going with that. And I feel like that person never wins the game.
Taryn, did anything jump off the page with you for Lucy when you first saw her?
No. Not really.
Right? I mean, she's kind of meh, but I feel like here's the thing for me. I just think that she's kind of got the, you know, the, like Brent said, you know, normally, you know, some of these moms that come on Survivor, they struggle at the start. You know, they miss their kids, they miss home, they feel out of place. I kind of feel like Lucy's got a chance that that'll happen and she'll cry and break down. And I think that'll be good TV. and maybe, who knows, maybe she's got Holly from Nicaragua in her and she'll, you know, destroy someone's $1,000 shoes. I think that would be really great if that were to happen on the show. I don't think anyone has any other thoughts on Lucy because she's quite bland. So let's keep going. Taryn, second to last pick. And I said that, you know, there's one person that really sucks. I kind of think both of these people are going to do kind of bad, not really good. So good luck, Taryn. The floor is yours.
You know, I was actually hoping that this person would come back to me. I threw her some shade earlier in the podcast because I wanted to make people think that I was more down on her than I was. But I actually kind of like Michelle.
Yeah. Nah, she's not good. Why do you like Michelle? Her video was...
She looks like Michelle from last season. When I looked at her, like, when she was wearing this green top that Michelle used to wear, like, I you know, the Michelle from last season who won. So, like, yeah, why not?
Yeah, and
she reminded me more of Big... She's like, I don't know, though. Like, she was so quiet, Taryn.
Were you about to say
like, she wasn't even saying anything. Yeah, I was going to say, she's like, not that she reminds me of Big Meech, but she's just going to like do the same as Big Meech, or probably worse, if you ask me. Well, I don't know. She'll probably just skate by because nobody will remember that she's even there.
Yeah, you know, I feel like, I don't know, she seemed kind of naive in her interview and in her bio, but I don't know, she seemed like the appropriate amount of bubbliness, where she seems very friendly, very easy to get along with. The fact that she's very religious and that she talks to God, I don't think is going to get in the way of interacting with people who aren't religious. And there are a lot of religious people on the cast, so I don't think it would be a problem regardless. And I don't know, she appreciates Boston Rob's game, which isn't the greatest sign in the world, but it does see it does point to some sort of, you know, inkling of strategy, which I can somewhat appreciate. And really, I feel like she does have some sort of charisma, and it's the kind of charisma that maybe Michelle had on the last season of Survivor, where it's very understated and a lot of people see her as very boring and very very vacuous. But ultimately, it could end up with her winning the game. Is she going to win? Probably not. But I'm glad that I was able to get her this far down in the list.
Alex, did you see said charisma that Taryn is referring to?
Yeah, I think potentially. She definitely seems like she has a bubbly energy, and that's good. I mean, Survivor is a tough game, and it's depressing. It's miserable. You get rained on, and you deal with, you know, like sores and bites and all kinds of nasty stuff. And you need it, it really can't be understated how important it is for people to like maintain a positive mindset. And if people around you are negative, then that brings you down too. So, like, I think a positive energy is something that's not, you know, talked about enough as being a vital tool for Survivor. That being said, I do have like some red flags with her, obviously. I think there's...
You think?
there's a lot going on here, and a lot of it is, I think, potentially hard to relate to. I worry that she might be a little too talkative, or maybe inclined to, you know, be talking about subjects that people aren't necessarily interested in, but they're willing to pretend to be interested in just to be polite. And that could get on people's nerves very fast. Like, they're already trying to survive. They don't necessarily want to deal with, you know, listening to like how dinosaurs became dragons or whatever that is. And then beyond that, like, yeah, just, you know, her background as a missionary, like on the one hand, she knows how to talk to non-religious people being religious. On the other hand, it's usually to try to convert them. So I'm very interested to see how it will play out, because it's a big question mark in a lot of ways.
I do not understand this girl. I really don't. Like, she seems like such a weird mishmash. On the one hand, she's talking about God and how he touched everything, created everything, and he's big and majestic and blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. Not throwing shade on that. I'm just saying that's her thing, not mine. On the other hand, she's talking about being cunning, and I'll be able to adapt quickly, and I want to like be the woman in the Bible who is men's downfall, and I want waterproof mascara as my luxury item because I want to stay hot, especially on TV. Like, what the F? Like, this isn't even the same person. Like, did two different people write this biography? Like, I can't even believe this stuff's coming out of the same person's mouth. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
She's an onion, Brent. She's got layers. What do you want?
Apparently.
Jenny in the chat said, is Michelle's secret boyfriend Taryn? Taryn, can you confirm? Michelle, and for those of you who didn't read Michelle's bio, she said that her big secret is that she has a boyfriend at home. So, Taryn, is it in fact you?
I cannot confirm or deny.
Bigger right. Secret, secret boyfriend or secret nerd? Bronte or Michelle, who we like?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Right? I mean, I guess Bronte.
Oh my God,
I guess Bronte.
That takes me back. Bronte, like I have a secret. I'm a secret nerd. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, that was just
remembering
good
6 years ago when Big Brother 18 started.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, geez, that long, that dark time when it really the whole thing. Okay. Brent, you've got the final pick, my friend. Everyone knows.
Bring us
if
home.
If you're keeping track, you know who this is. But Brent, for those who, you know, are at the gym and not paying attention while they're listening to this, or they're driving their car and they're zoning out and maybe they, you know, forgot who's been picked and who hasn't been picked, who is your final selection?
You bitches have forced me to pick Sunday Burquest. She's a 45-year-old youth pastor. The hilarious part is I ain't all that mad that I got her. Like, I think she's pretty fun. Like, do I think she's going to win? Probably not. But, so you're telling me there's a chance. Like, it's one of those things. The hilarious part is that I am very good friends with a woman who is this woman. Ooh. Like, I mean, she's like, I don't know her in any way, but like, I am friends. Like, one of my best friends is a woman who basically is Sunday. She's like the woman I
Saturday?
Know is one of my best friends.
This is her the most name, confusing
no,
conversation I've ever listened to.
Okay. I have a good friend and she's like this woman. Her name's
don't say her name. It's fine. We get now. I understand.
Right. I have a friend.
Let's just call
who's
her
like
Saturday.
She's bossy. Saturday. She's like, She's tenacious. Exactly. She's one of these people. She's just like this girl or this woman, whatever, you know, her mom, whatever. Who she can't. I know it's like that name. I just can't with the Sunday name. Anyway, so and the fact that she's the youth pastor and her name is Sunday, like it all, like I feel like I'm like on some weird acid trip or something. But like I feel like she can't keep her mouth shut, and that's what's going to be her downfall. If she's able to keep her opinions to herself, just for change. Then I feel like she could go a ways, and you never know what can happen when you're dragged to the end. And maybe it's a final two. Maybe she ends up against some idiot. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, Sunday, I thought she seemed like a neat lady. Like, she was cool. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't think she's going to win.
Neat lady status.
Yeah, right? I mean,
yeah, she's a neat lady.
Alex, Taryn, any thoughts on Sunday?
I actually liked Sunday a lot. I liked...
So much that you didn't pick her, ever.
I liked her a lot as a person. I don't know if I like her a lot as a Survivor player. I feel like
I agree with that.
She's not the type that's going to necessarily do well in Survivor. She talks about she's bossy. That never plays well. But I did feel like, I don't know, the way that she talked about the generations, I felt like was one of the most nuanced ways of talking about it, where like she wasn't like, oh yeah, participation trophies. She was like, oh yeah, there's some good things to being Gen X and there's some good things to being millennials, which is like the most intellectual way of answering that question that any of them did, I think. And I don't know. She just seems like a nice person. She seems like a reasonable person. I think I would get along with her. I think she'll get along well with her tribe mates to some extent. But I don't know if I see her winning, and that's why I didn't pick her. But I mean, if she had been the last pick left, I would have been happy to have her.
Alex, bring it on home, my friend. What are your final thoughts on Sunday?
I think Taryn summed it up pretty well. All I'd really add is that, you know, looking at this cast in particular, I think one thing that typically is problems for players like Sunday or, you know, generally just kind of, you know, older players or, you know, skinnier players or whatever is that, you know, early in the game, you may be targeted because you're not able to pull the weight in challenges. I think looking at this cast as a whole, there's not a lot of overwhelming muscle on either tribe. I think both tribes have multiple athletic people, but no, there's certainly no Joels or James Clements out there that are just going to be like ripping down trees with their bare hands. So I think because of that, that actually is really good for someone like Sunday. Someone like that is probably less likely to, you know, like they're not going to say, oh, we need to get rid of Sunday so we can compete with the millennials. The millennials don't look that, you know, intimidating in terms of athletic ability. So I think that, if anything, may really play to her favor.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for...
By the way...
Go ahead, Brent.
Before you wrap it up, I just want to say really quickly, like, can we just like quickly talk about the fact, like, was there a twist going on with this season where they were casting a ton of religious people and then it fell by the wayside? Like, is that what they were doing? Because there are a lot of people on this season who are, for lack of a better phrase, which I really kind of hate, Bible thumpers.
Well, Jeff Probst actually did an interview with Dalton Ross, which you can find on Entertainment Weekly, and he said that this was the first season in a while where they cast they had already come up with a theme before they had created the cast. So,
okay.
So the theme was millennials versus Gen X. I think it kind of just fell into their lap, but interesting point, Brent. I do think there are a lot of people, on this season, at least relatively compared to the most recent seasons that are very religious. So, I mean, it'll be interesting. I'm excited to see how that plays out on the show for sure.
I do think there's one
hopefully,
small correction.
Hopefully
hold
not
on.
Like...
There's one small correction. I believe it was Gen X versus millennials, Jordan.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Gen X versus millennials. He pitched it.
What did
he
you
pitched
say?
It to CBS as Gen X versus millennials. And then CBS said, no, it's got to be millennials versus Gen X. And he was like, okay,
oh,
perfect. And that's what they did.
Okay. Yeah.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Right.
Okay. So there we go. So that's going to do it for the Happy Hour Draft. Let's just recap our teams quickly. Alex has Zeke, Jessica Lewis, David Wright, Michaela, and Hannah Shapiro. I have Will Wall, Paul Wachter, Rachel Acko, Jay, I don't know what his last name is, and Lucy. Taryn has Mari, Adam, Ken, snowboard instructor Taylor, and Michelle. And Brent has Brett, Chris, Cece, Figgy, and Sunday. Now, we had a request earlier from someone to, or for us to name our teams respectively. So what I was thinking for the hashtag this week is that you guys, let's all name our teams. And if you made it all the way to the end of this podcast, tweet us, let us know which team you like the most by using the appropriate hashtag. So I'll let you guys start thinking about those hashtags while I wind things down for you guys. Just give you guys a few housekeeping notes. First, if you like this podcast and you want to check out some Big Brother coverage, you can subscribe to the Rahappy Hour by going to robbizawebsite.com/Rahappy Hour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. We cover Big Brother very regularly on this show. Big Brother 18 is about to end, but if you are interested in checking out Big Brother for the first time, Big Brother Over the Top, the digital version of Big Brother, is starting not this upcoming Wednesday, but the Wednesday after that. We will be covering that all season. So that'll be really fun. And I can announce the schedule officially today. We're going to be doing that Sundays and Wednesdays on the Rahappy Hour. So two Rahappy Hour shows a week during Big Brother Over the Top. So that'll be really exciting. You can also subscribe to us on YouTube. Go to robbizawebsite.com/YT, and you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can get all the live shows there. Okay, let's talk about the team names, guys. Alex, what's your team name?
All right. So I think, you know, really the last Big Brother podcast I was on, we got into a little bit of a discussion about the term superfan and how I didn't like it. And I wanted to, you know, change that up. So I think it's only appropriate, given that I picked five people who are big fans, that I go with Team Super Duper Fan.
Super Duper Fan. Okay. So hashtag Team Super Duper Fan. Tweet Alex at Alex Kidwell at the end of the show if you are a fan of his team, if you think he's going to win. Okay, my team, I am going to go with, you know, Team Trainwreck. That was the name that I used for Big Brother. I'm going to use a different name this time that is inspired from that. If you are a Survivor Australia fan, you will understand this reference. I'm going with one of my, to honor one of my favorite reality TV players of all time, I am going to name my team after the biggest train wreck of them all. Hashtag Team Dez. So Team Dez, that is my team. I love Dez so much. So he's the biggest train wreck I know. That's my team name.
Oh,
Brent.
Okay. Wow, I was expecting something like, oh, what, Alex?
Any Survivor Australia reference that isn't about Phoebe is a waste.
Whoa, okay, hot take.
Right, hot take. Okay, I have a name. People suggested it in the chat. A few people loved it. I'm sticking with it. If you want to root for me and you think I might pick the best team, hashtag Walga Monsters. That's what we're going with, ladies and gentlemen. Root for me because I got the winner on my team. I just
okay, so the Walga Monsters, that's Team Brent.
Or it's Gas.
And Taryn, you are up, my friend. What is your team name?
I just want it to be as clear as possible, not confusing. So since I managed to channel Brent and pick Mari instead of him, I want to call myself hashtag Team Brent.
Hashtag Team Brent.
I thought you should be like the clairvoyance from America's Got Talent. Like when you picked that, that was so amazing. Like I fell out of my chair. I couldn't believe that.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. I think that'll be too confusing, though, Taryn. Don't you think?
No, I think that's great.
All right.
Yeah.
And everyone will know that means Team Taryn.
So Team Brent, hashtag Team Brent if you want Taryn's team. A little confusing, but I'm sure you guys can figure it out. Okay, one other thing to let you guys know. This was a bonus edition of the show. We will be back again tomorrow night live, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, to do our final edition of the Big Brother 18 live feed roundtable for the season, as the finale is this Wednesday. So that should be a lot of fun. We'll be taking lots of your questions. You can send those in to us using hashtag Rahappy Hour. Don't forget to follow these guys on Twitter if you don't already. Alex is at Alex Kidwell. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn, and I am at Jordan Parhar. That is going to do it for this edition of the Rahappy Hour. Thank you guys so much for those of you listening live or listening in the audio archives. For Alex Kidwell, Brent Walgamont, and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag Team Super Duper Fan, hashtag Team Dez, hashtag Team Walga Monsters, or hashtag Team Brent. I'm Jordan Parhar. All the best. Take care. The theme song of the reality TV We're Happy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.